Today's daf is Tezayim Aleph. We got two, three lines on the top. Gufa. So the Gemara says, Gufa, Bimei Rabbi Dusa ben Hyrcanus. Hitiru Tsaras Habas L'Achim. Once during the times of Rabbi Dusa, so he had permitted, or someone had permitted, Tsaras Bito to the brothers. And Hayad Davar Kasha L'Chachamim, Nipnei Shechacham Gadol Haya. Chacham were very bothered by this, because Rabbi Dusa was a very well-known Talmid Chacham. And Rashi explains that they thought that he was the one who permitted this situation of Tsaras Habas. Veinav Kamo Milval Beis HaMedrash. And Rashi explains that his Rabbi Dosa got old and he wasn't able to come to the Beis Medrash. He became blind or hard to see for him. So he stayed home. Vyodiyu. And they wanted to let him know that they made a mistake. So, what? So reading, usually we don't read the parentheses, but we can read them if you want. Amar Milcha.
There are two kinds. The round one we're not reading, and the square one we read, no?
The square one we do read. I only have parentheses here.
Oh, so I have a square and a round.
So Shas has it? I don't have my Sosha Shas here with it. Okay. So either way, we'll read it. So it says, the Gemara Amar, who's going to go, who's going to go and let him know that he made a mistake in this matter, because we know that Tsaras Bito only Beis Shammai permitted it, but we passed like Beis Hillel, who said it's Aser to marry Tsaras Bito. So Amar Lehen, Rabbi Shua, Ani Yelech, Rabbi Shua said, I'll go. V'achrav Miyu, and who's going to go after Rabbi Shua? So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he'll go next. V'achrav, who's going to be after that? Me, Rabbi Kiva. So those are the three who decided to go, Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and Rabbi Kiva. Halchav Amdu al Pesach Beiso. So they went and stood at the entrance of Rabbi Dosa's house. And Nichnasa Shifchaso. So his shifcha came to the door and answered, Amr lo, Rebbe. And he says over to Rebbe, Rabbi Dosa, Achach mi yisa bon etzlecha. So a number of Tamei Chacham came to see you. So Amr lo, yichansu ibnichasu. So he tells the shifcha, let them come in, please. And they come in. So tafsu l'Rebbe Yeshua v'yoshiva amita shozav. So first he holds on to, again, he couldn't see. He takes Rabbi Yeshua and places him down this very nice golden couch. So Rabbi Shua turns to Rabbi Dosa and says, Rabbi, Rabbi Dosa, tell your other Talmud, there's another Talmud who's here also, not just me, tell him to sit. So Rabbi Dosa said, who is the other person? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So Amar of Yeshla ben Lazariah, wow, he says, Azariah had a son, Rabbi Elazar, I didn't know. Chaviranu kra lov amirkazu, he recited the following pasuk, Nahar yisi v'gam zekanti v'lo yisi tzadik nezav. He said, I was a young kid, and now I get older, and never did I see a tzaddik go unfed. So that's what he said, because he was apparently he was a contemporary of Azariah, and Azariah was a very wealthy person, so he mentioned that line of both Azariah and his son, Rabbi Lazar, were of great wealth, and Zarm Vakish Lachem, never will he see that. So then, Tafsu Voshiva Amita shows up. So he takes Rabbi Lazar and Azariah and places him in also a golden couch. So Amalei Rabbi, I'm more Talmid Chacher. You have another Talmud who's here. Yashu, go tell him to come sit. So Amalei Umihu, who's this third one? Akiva ben Yosef. So Amalei Ata, who Akiva ben Yosef? So Dosa says, you're the famous Akiva. Sheshim Chaholech Misofa Olam Vatsofa. So you're the name who goes from one end of the world to the other end. Everybody knows who you are. Shave ben Yishave. You please sit down, Rabbi Kiva. Kamoscha Yarbu Yisrael. We should have many, many Rabbanim just like you. So the Mepharshim explain why the order of Rabbi Yeshua ben Azariah, Rabbi Yeshua then Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and the Rabbi Kiva, and also why did Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar get a golden mita and Rabbi Kiva got nothing? Just sit down on the floor, maybe. So they explain that Rabbi Yeshua was the Avbezin. So Avbezin was the highest authority, so that's why he, that's why Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah knew who he was. He was well known, and he got a mita shozav. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was a recently appointed Nasi after the stories of Brachos. He was young when he was appointed Nasi. So he heard of him, but didn't yet get to meet him yet. And he was also given a golden mita because he was a Nasi in the end of the day. Rabbi Kiva was just very young. He wasn't a Nasi. He wasn't anything. He was just Rabbi Kiva. He was known, but he wasn't that chashiv. He wasn't. He didn't have any title, so he wasn't given a golden couch, and that's why he was the last one to enter.
Can it be that there was no golden couch anymore?
It's possible he ran out. Possible.
We just didn't mention golden.
Okay, maybe. Fine. So then the Gemara says, so finally they all enter in and they're visiting Rabbi Dosa, and they want to get to know why is it that Rabbi Dosa had given this heter of Tsaras Bita. Says the Gemara, Hischil Mesavim also b'halachos. They start Mesavim. It's a very interesting language. Mesavim. Mesav means like Soviv, to surround him. They began to surround him and bombard him, I guess, with questions of halacha. Achi Gila Tzaras Bita Abbas. Finally, it was kind of a way of progressing to Tzaras Bat. They didn't want to come and give him that question right away, but that was the evolution of the discussion. It went to that direction.
Do you have that same lashon by the Gemara Bava Metzia, the Rebbe Lezer, and Tanu Shalachnai? See that they surrounded him with all these things and that they burned them, or are they they've asked what he matter?
Lashon Mesavim doesn't ring a bell. It could be though. So they started asking questions. Ad shigil Tzaras Abbas finally got to this question where they came for. What's the halacha by Tzaras Abbas? So Amrulei Tzaras Abbas Mal. What's the halacha? Amrulei answer. Rabbi Dosa says machlokas beis Shammai beis Hillel. We know it's a machlokas, well known machlokas already in the Mishnayos. So halacha k'divrei mi. So how do we pass from Rabbi Dosa? They knew what the halacha was, but they wanted to just engage him. Amrulehem halacha k'beis Hillel. We pass like beis Hillel. Amrulei v'halob mishimcha Amru halacha k'beis Shammai. But wait a second, we heard in the name of Rabbi Dosa Ben Hercules, that you paskin like Beis Shammai, that you permitted Tzaras Abbas. Amalhem, so Dosa says back to the Talmidei Chachamim, Dosa Shemasem, oh Ben Hercules Shemasem. What did you hear? Did you hear Dosa? Did you hear I actually did it? Or did you hear a son of Hercules did it, but not necessarily me? I have brothers, you know. So they said, oh, you know what?
Ben Hercules is his brother.
Well, Ben Hercules is Andy's son. We know the first name, but did you hear that a son of Hercules was the one who permitted it? Or did you hear that Dosa Ben Hercules? No, Hyrcanus is the father. Ben Hyrcanus would be a son of the Hyrcanus.
Oh, Hyrcanus is a father, the general of a right. Father?
No, Hyrcanus is the name of his actual father.
Oh.
Rabidosa's father's name was Hyrcanus.
Ah.
So did you hear Hyrcanus? Or maybe a Ben, yeah. Another Ben of a Hyrcanus was the one who permitted it. He said, no, Taka, you're right, actually. We weren't so careful in how we heard the Shmua. He says that, Amulei Chaye Rebbe Stam Shamanu, we just heard Rebbe Stam, which Rashi tells us, that means Ben Hyrcanus Stam Vishimolo Hiska. We just heard the son of Hyrcanus. We assumed it was you, but maybe it wasn't. Wamalahem, so he said, you should know, Ach Katan Ishti. I have a younger brother, and Bechor Satan Hu, very interesting language. He's a Bechor, even though he's not really the oldest. He's a Satan, even though he's a human. The Yonasan Shema, his name is Yonasan. Hu Mitamide Shammai, and he's one of the students of Shammai. So let's look at Rashi for a second. What does it mean, Bechor Satan Hu? Right, that's what Rashi says. Exactly. Rashi writes, Charif, sharp, va'omer al shmoni, he learns a sugya well till he gets to the maskana. Vosamais, and he acts based on what he learns. Ve'eno shev mishmuaso lasos kirabim. He learns to, and he's an independent thinker, and he concludes however he thinks is right, and that's that. He's not deterred by other people saying the halacha is like this, or the rabbim say this way. He learns a sugya, and this is what he comes out with. That's how he paskins. So it's very sharp, and he's independent. So he says, Rav Dosa further to his Talmidim, v'hiz haru, and be very careful, shloi kafech etchem behil halachos. Do not engage him in conversation. V'fi sheyesh imo shlosh meos tshuvos b'tzaras habas. He has 300 answers he'll give you, and why tzaras habas shehi muteres. So stay far away from this guy. Aval, meid ani alai, I'm going to testify, shemayim v'aretz, sha'al meducha zu yashuv chagai navi, that even though my younger brother is very smart and has good reasons to explain why things are mutter, this meducha, this small grinder that I sit on, Yoshev Chagai Navi sat on this, Vamar, and he said, Shlosh Dvarim, he said three things while sitting on this grinder. First, he said, Tzaras Abbas is Asura. Number two is Amon Umav, this different area is the outskirts of Eretz Yisrael, Ma'asin Ma'aser Ani B'Shvius. During Shvius, they take Ma'aser Ani. The law is that normally, Shvius, this year of Shemitah, of course, you can't work the land. Nobody owns the land. They're Hefker. So if it's Hefker, the farmers don't take Meiser. So you don't give Meiser. This year it's Pater. But Amun Moav, which were on the outskirts of Eretz Yisrael, during the Shemitah year, they gave Meiser Ani. They took Meiser Ani. The owners of the farmers would keep it as a year not of Shvius and would give Meiser to the Aniyim.
So which daughter was married to which brother of Rabbi Dosa?
No daughters necessarily.
It says in the beginning.
Yeah. Maybe in your parish. No. He permitted the halacha, the general halacha, Tzaras Habas.
Oh, he permitted that.
Yeah, not that he...
He permitted, but it was his brother that permitted
exactly.
It.
Exactly.
Oh, and they were going by his brother.
Right. Okay. So this is the second thing that Chagai Hanavi permitted was this Amon Moav. If you look quickly, read through this Rashi, I guess. Rashi writes, Amonu Moav, Yisraelim Hadarim Eretz Amonu Moav, the Jews who lived in these outskirts of Eretz Yisrael, Shekibesh Moshe Misichon Miniskachu Kedusha Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu conquered them, and they became Nichlal in Eretz Yisrael. However, Achsha Bebei Sheni Bala Kedushasa, nowadays that they did not reconquer it. Ole Bavel did not reconquer these areas. So therefore, it was bought to the Kedusha, Vizorn Mishvish, you're allowed to plant it during Shemitah year, did not have Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. V'tiknu lehem Maiser Rishon and Maiser Ani B'Shvi'is, even though it was outside Eretz Yisrael and doesn't require any Maisros, they are misakin that they should take Maiser Rishon and they should take Maiser Ani during Shvi'is. Could mefarsh the comment b'nei Parnasa Aniim sheb Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara will explain later on, in order to give Parnasa to the Aniim in Eretz Yisrael, she'ein lehem ma'le'echel b'Shvi'is, nothing to eat during Shvi'is, if he should batal lekev v'shichav peah. During Shvi'is, there's no leket shichav peah. Those are things that were specially given to the Aniim during the other years, but not during Shemitah. So they'd go to these Amon and Moav areas near Eretz Yisrael, which would be keeping regular farm years. They'd be leaving Leket Shechem Peah, and they'd be giving Ma'aser Ani. That's why they instituted. That's a special Mesorah that we have from Chagai HaNavi. And the third thing that Rabbi Dosa says that he has a Mesorah from Chagai HaNavi is, Mekablen Geirim min HaKarduyin u'min HaTarmudim. You could accept Geirim from these areas as Geirim. Rashi explains, Mekablen Geirim min HaKardunim v'lo aminim mamzerim. We don't say that mamzerim Mibnos Yisrael Shabbat Lehen Ovid Kacham, that it was where Bnos Yisrael had married a guy and had this child, which, according to this man, Amar, Dikar Ban Depasli, some think that a Jewish woman with a non-Jew would generate a, we normally think it's a Jewish child, but not only is it a Jewish child, it's a mamzer, according to some opinions. So we don't assume that it's a mamzer, says the Gemara. We assume that they're non-Jews entirely, and therefore you could convert them to be full-fledged Jews. Okay, those are three things that the Mesorah we have that Rabbi Dosa had, and do not listen to my brother. Now, this is not so problematic that we have, even though Rabbi Dosa's brother Yonason could prove one way, we have Mesorah going against that. What do we do with all the proofs? We have situations like that. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, in order to be under Beis Din, you have to be able to prove that a sheretz is tahor. That's one of the things you have to do, which doesn't make any sense. The pasuk says a sheretz is tameh. So what good does it do to prove that a sheretz is tahor? So the idea being is that you want to see if you could think analytically and think outside the box, even though necessarily it might be wrong, but you have the ability to think. So here it also, even though he could prove a certain way in 300 ways that in fact a tzaras bas is mutter, when we have a mesorah telling us one thing, you can't go against our mesorah. Okay, so that ends. That's, I guess, ends the first part of the story. Then the Gemara continues and says there's a sequel to what we've just seen. Tana kishenichnasu nichnasu bePesach Echa. When the three Talmidei Chachamim came to visit Rabbi Dosa, they entered into all the same entrance. However, kishayatsu, when they all left, yatsu b'shalosh pesachim, they exited through three different exits. Okay, so why different exits? Tosos offers two explanations. You look at Tosos towards the top. He says yatsu b'gimel pesachim v'shalo yimatzim kulam yachad v'yikavchem b'halachos v'yitzdarchu l'kfor halacha kavosa. They're scared to see Yonasan ben Hyrcanus. Maybe he's living, he's in the area, and he's going to get all three of them together and start bombarding them with questions and about Tzaras Bitzo and make them, enforce them, and convince them to say that it's Mutter. If they all go by themselves, it's going to be one against one, so he convinces one of them, but the other two won't be convinced, and they could get off without having to come into contact with Yonasan ben Hyrcanus.
So it's like Bedin 3, if you convince three, it's Halacha Kmot.
No, because these are three big Gdol Yisrael. So if these three were convinced, they would have said the halacha was like Tzaras Bito. So they figured they just spread and disperse. This way he can't find all three of them. Because if only one of them is convinced, the other two are not convinced, so they wouldn't change the halacha. Inami Tosa suggests the second answer why they left three exits. Inami yatsu begimel psachim kidei shimatsu vishmao chuvaso. I'm not sure what that means. Literally what it means is in order that
purposely
they should...
to find him.
They wanted to find him.
They have a better chance
to find him. And here he wanted to hear what he said. Ah, okay.
I'll go with the second.
You like the second one better? Okay. You're entitled. Okay. Then the Gemara says, so what happens when they left the three exits? So, Paga by Rabbi Kiva. He found Rabbi Kiva. That was the one Yonasan got a hold of. Actually, he asked him, and going back and forth. So, Yonasan says to Rabbi Kiva, are you the famous Akiva whose name is throughout the world? So you're praiseworthy that you reached to this point, but you haven't yet reached the status of Roy Bucker, which was not a very big compliment. Roy Bucker were shepherds or maybe cattlemen who were not considered Talmid Chachamim. So that's how he introduced himself to Rabbi Akiva. Now, what's the significance of Roy Bakar? So it could simply be that Roy Bakar just non Talmid Chachamim, but the Marsha suggests that the following, that since Rabbi Akiva, let's see, so he's Rabbi Do, sorry, Rabbi Yonason is suggesting that you should not accept this Mesorah, this Kabbalah of Chag HaNavi, because Chag HaNavi is one of the later Nevi'im, and this Kabbalah does not go from the previous Nevi'im Rishonim, and it says about Chag HaNavi that he was a Bakar, Roy Bakar suggests the Marsha, so therefore. You shouldn't trust Chag HaNavi. Okay, you might have a Mesorah from Chag HaNavi, but since the Mesorah does not pre-exist Chag HaNavi, you can't really accept it. That's what he explains.
So that's what he told Rabbi Akiva?
That's why he used Lashon Roy Bakar.
The Marz, right. He was a prophet too.
Because
he knew what's going on, what his brother told him.
Or maybe he had the conversation. Maybe he said this afterwards. Maybe they had the conversation first. He doesn't seem to be a Navi. But Marz Chi suggests that Rabbi Akiva had lived outside Eretz Yisrael. And there's one story that Rabbi Akiva was Ma'aber the Shana. He made a leap year. He added an extra month. And the halacha is that anybody who adds a leap year outside Eretz Yisrael gets nidoy, gets excommunicated. So he says, so you did this, you went against halacha, but if a person lived in Eretz Yisrael, even there are three random people, even Shlosh Roy Bakar, they can be Ma'aber the Shana. So you are no better than Roy Bakar, who are able to be Ma'abed Shana in Eretz Yisrael, but you, living in Chutz La'aretz, are not able to. So that was the significance of what he had said to Rabbi Akiva. So then the Gemara continues and says, so what's Rabbi Akiva's response? We know Rabbi Akiva is a great Aleph, so he's just called no greater than a Roy Bakar. So Amar Lo, Rabbi Akiva says back, I didn't even reach the levels of the shepherds, which were apparently lower than the Roy Bakar. You're right, I'm nothing. Okay, so the conversation went on. Amon Moav Maasin Maisa Ani Bishvis. So we had said before that Rabbi Dosa had said in Mesorah, the second Mesorah Kabbalah he heard from the Chag HaNavi was that the area of Amon Moav, they would take Maiser Ani during Shvis. Damar Mar would say, Harbe Krochim Kavshu Ol Mitzrayim, Velo Kavshu Ol Babel. There were many cities that when Klai Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim, they had conquered them during the first Kedusha. But when they came back from Oli Bavel during the times of Ezra, they did not reconquer these cities. So Kedusha Rishona Kitchel HaShaisa V'lo Kitchel HaSulava, we paskin that the Kedusha, their initial Kedusha, did not exist forever. It only existed temporarily. But when they left Eretz Yisrael for the first time after Bais Rishon was destroyed, the Kedusha left. Oli Bavel came and re-sanctified Eretz Yisrael, but only the areas that they had reconquered. And they left these areas of Amun Moav unconquered, even though they were able to, apparently. They left it unconquered and unsanctified purposely, in order that the Aniyim, during the Shemitah year, it's very difficult, they could rely on these areas of the land to mifarnes from. And then the third Mesorah he had heard was, the third thing he heard, that you can't accept Gerim from these areas, these cities. And the reason being is because even though they were Choshesh, that maybe these were products of a Jewish mother, the Mesorah was that these were not products of a Jewish mother, these were full-fledged non-Jews, and you can convert them, as opposed to them being children of Jewish mothers and being Jewish already, but being mamzerim, according to his opinion, converting them won't change their status of being a mamzer. So they are considered goyim and geris works. So Gemara challenges this last Mesorah. Aini, is that really true that one can accept geris from karduyim and tarmudim? V'hatani rami bar yichezkel. In Mekavan Gerim and HaKarduyim, you cannot accept from these areas. Amar Rav Ashi, Kartuyim Itmar. Not Karduyim with the Dab, with the Tuf. Kidami Inche, Kartuyim Psulim. People would apparently have this phrase that Kartuyim were puzzle people. Kartuyim with the Tuf would be puzzle. That you couldn't accept, but with a Dalad, you could accept them as Gerim. Vikidami, there is another version of this, that Tani Rami Mercheskel, Ein Mekavan Gerim and HaKartuyim. My love, Hainu Kartuyim, Hainu Kartuyim. He had the sort of Kartuyim with the Taf, Tuf. But it's the same exact country. Tuf, Dal, it sounds the same. Are they not the same cities? Amar Rav Ashi, lo Kartuyim l'chud, v'Kartuyim l'chud. No. One's Kartuyim, which is Pasul, Mamzerim. And one's Kartuyim, which are Goyim, which you can't accept as Gerim. Kedami Inchi, like people would say, Kartuyim Psili. Now, Rabbi Yochanan v'Savia. Savia, I guess, is a person's name. Okay. Dami Tavaya, both of them were of the opinion that Ein Mekablin Gerim Min HaTarmudim. Tarmudim was the second one mentioned above by Chag HaNavi. Karduim we've been speaking about up until now, now Tarmudim. So they said you cannot accept gerim from Tandumim, but Tamudim. But Umi Amar Rabbi Yochan Halchid, Rabbi Yochan really say you can't accept gerim? V'ha Tanan, the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Nida, Kolak Samim Habam Rekem, all stains, all blood stains, the concern of whether they're Nida or not, that come from Rekem Torim are considered Tahor. The reason being is because the Rekem were not considered, were considered Goyim. Look at Rashi, a few lines from the bottom, a few lines up, he says, Tahorim Lefisha Lo Gazru A Kisme Ov Dechachavim. Place of Rekem was certainly, according to this Mishnah, was a place of Goyim. And any blood stains that they had found, since they're Goyim, they were not, the Chum were not Gozer and Ksama and stains. Ksamim was only something that was Gozer on Jews, but not Goyim. They were a Gozer and Goyim, Ziva and Nida, but not Ksamim. Only for Jews who have a real dinder isim nida where they guard their ksamim. So any ksamim you got from Rekem was tahar. Rehuda metame, he said, tame, why? Mipnei shehem gerim. Rehuda felt that Rekem, even though they act like goyim, they really came from converted Jews. And v'tahar mibein ha'ov dechom, they got lost among the goyim. So tahorim, what lines on tahorim, has that read in there for a second? So where you read it is Tahorim. However, Mibein Ha'av Dechachavim Tahorim. But if you find them among Goyim, they would be Tahor. The only question is, they argued about Rekem. Was Rekem considered a place of Goyim, or is it considered a place of Gerim that got assimilated? And Vahavinaba, and on this Mishnah, we find that Kapasak Vitani Mibein Ha'av Dechachavim Vafilu Minat Tarmod, that the halacha is that Mibein Ha'av Dechachavim, even if it comes from Tarmod, that we would not consider them to be Jews, rather they would be considered Goyim, as Rashi says on the top line. Rafil mitarmod al malab besafik yisal kaimi. They're not considered safik whether they're Jews, that we consider them to be vadai Goyim from the place of Rekem. And on that says Amar Yochanan, Zosomeris, this comes to tell us that mekabim gerim mitarmod, that one can accept gerim from Tarmod. So I guess Tarmod is the same place as Rekem, is that what we're saying?
In Rekem.
So I guess must be about Tarma must be in Rekem. That's the first line I guess that we were saying.
Yeah, I mean, what does it mean? Kapasi v'tani mibein avdei kachavim afilu min Tarma.
Oh, that's the point. Okay, I misread it as Rekem. So the halacha was, how do we paskin, Rabbi Huda versus the Chachamim? So the halacha is, we paskin that mibena of the Chachamim is tahorim, that if it's found, if a person finds Chachamim in a place of non-Jews, the stains are going to be considered tahor. And even that which comes from Tarmod, even though people think Tarmod might be a place of Gerim, the halacha tells us that it's a place of Goyim, and that too, any stains found in Tarmod will be considered tahor, because it's a place of Goyim. And because of that, Rabbi Yochanan says, anyone who comes from Tarmod, who we assume is non-Jewish, you can accept them as Gerim because they're non-Jewish. They're not. We don't consider them Mamzerim. They're considered Goyim, and therefore Geris works. So we see, but above Yochanan and Paskin, that ain't Mekablin Gerim in Tarmod. That's the Stira. The Chitmar says V'chitema Zos V'losrile. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan says Zos. Based on what the halacha is by Tarmod and Nida, one would conclude that you could also accept Gerim. He himself personally that may not hold this way, he's just saying what's concluded from the halacha that other people hold. If that's what you want to suggest, doesn't Rabbi Yochanan have the following statement, halacha kestam mishnah, that he holds like we always pass like a stam mishnah. And the mishnah needs a stam mishnah, there's no author there, no machlokas. So Rabbi Yochanan would pass like that stam mishnah and how he passkin of that stam mishnah, so he would hold of both these cases. So it ends up being a stira. Does Rabbi Yochanan allow for one to accept a ger from Tarmud or not? And the Gemara concludes here, Amarayim into Valiv the Yochanan. There's Machlokas Amarayim, what the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan was. One opinion felt that you can accept that game from Tarmod, and the other opinion thinks one may not accept.
But what's the reason you can't accept Gerim? I don't understand. Because they're Yisrael Mamzerim?
Yes.
Is there an agreement on what the Maisa that they did was? Is a Machlokas about whether or not it's actually Jewish women with Goyish men, or is the machlokas about the status of what happens when a Jewish woman marries a Goyish man?
I think the machlokas is about what the metzias was. Was it a Jewish woman or not a Jewish woman? There's another machlokes, even if, had it been a Jewish woman, whether that generates a mamzer or not. I believe we passing it does not generate a mamzer. But this Gemara is assuming it would generate a mamzer with a Jewish mother.
What doesn't generate a mamzer?
A Jewish mother and a non-Jew father would not generate a mamzer. It would be a Jewish child.
So what is a mamzer?
It comes from a relationship of an issacharis. Any of the raios.
Jews.
Jews, exactly. Exactly. It has to be through Jews. Right. Any of the relationships that we speak about of Arayos.
So every kid out there that has a goy father is a Jew.
Right. Mm-hmm. And even a...
Any difference with the D? With this D? Or is like me, like in you?
I think we assume it's a regular Jew.
Oh, yeah?
Okay. There's a Rashi, actually someone in Yevamos, I'm not sure, I don't remember where it is exactly. He seems to indicate that it's possible, based on this discussion here that we're having now, that if it's a Jewish mother, a non-Jewish father, the child requires gerus. There's a Rashi like that. I think it's in Vamos and Kedushin, but we don't pass that.
Way. And it's talking about the Mitzri, right? Is it talking about?
I don't remember.
And if he skip Judaism, he still need a gerus.
Which case?
The non-Jew guy.
We pass that you don't need any gerus. That if it's a Jewish mother, regardless of the status of the father, the child is Jewish without gerus. It's only this opinion of Rashi, who we don't paskin like, that says they would require. Okay. So Gemara wants to know, what exactly happened in Tirmod? Tirmod, my taima. So what happened there that they had this debate about whether the status of the kids were goyim or not? So my taima. My taima la, why not? Why not accept a ger from there? Why do we assume that it was a Jewish mother? So pligibar Rabbi Yochanan Vesavia, the Adam Machlokas, what happened in Tirmod? Chad Amar, one of them said that Mishum Avdei Shlomo. One said the Avdei Shlomo. What happened to Avdei Shlomo? So Rashi explains on the top here, Avdei Shlomo, Shenosu B'noi Yisrael Machmas Oshram. The servants of Shlomo were not Jewish, but they're very wealthy because they lived in the palace. So there were Jewish women who wanted to get wealth. So they married the servants of Shlomo. V'darim Sham, and they lived there, V'cheskas Ovdei Chachavim. And they lived there and pretending to be non-Jews, the women. The Kesavar Ovi Chachavim, the Eved Haba Al Bas Yisrael, Havla Mamzer. And this opinion thinks, even though we don't hold this way, that if a Goyish father or a Eved with a Jewish mother would generate a Mamzer child. So that's what happened, that the Jewish woman would marry the Avdei Shlomo. But let's say, so then the Gemara said, actually, before we go weiter in that, Tosas asks the following question. Tosas asks, this is five wide lines down, Bishlomo, Laman Damar, Mishum, Avdei Shlomo, Kasavar. So if we're talking about Avaldim and Avdei Shlomo, asks Tosas, Vim Tomar, Lamali, Lemisle, Taima, Mishum, Mamzeris. Why do we say the problem is, earlier we said it was an issue of Mamzeris. Havle, Lemaymar, Mishum, Avdei Shlomo, Avaldim, Asrim, Bishalis. Why are you concerned with the generating Mamzer? Shouldn't we be concerned with that it's usur for a Jewish woman to be with an Eved? If this is an Eved of Shlomo, an Eved Kanani, so that should be the prior Isser. Why is he talking about what's resulting from that? The Mamzer, and the first Isser is the Eved. So Tosus answers, V'yei Shlomo d'mistama nishyayshu abaylam mehem. So we're probably talking about where the Baal, I'm not sure here, I thought we were talking about the Avdei Shlomo. But the Baal, I guess Shlomo, was miyayish on them. He had given up hope and let them go free. And there's one opinion there, I think it's Shmuel, that holds that if the master doesn't care about his Eved anymore, his Eved Kanani goes free. Normally speaking, an Eved Kanani requires a get shichra to let him go free. He needs a document giving his emancipation. But in this case, there's an opinion that thinks Nishyashti without a get shichra works as well. So I'm not really sure who the Baal here. It sounds like the Gemara that the Avadim were the Avadim of Shlomo. So Shlomo, I guess, was the Baal who had Nisyaish on them. I don't really know exactly. But somehow Tosus tries getting out of the answer that's why we're concerned with Mamzerim here and not concerned with Avadim. The problem with Tosus is, though, what's the halacha of an Eved Kanani? After Eved Kanani becomes freed, he becomes Jewish. So if he becomes Jewish, so why does it generate a Mamzer child here? They're Jewish now, marries a Bas Yisrael, it should be a Jewish child. So some explain that you still require a tevila, you have to go to the mikvah until you complete the gerus process. There's a whole discussion about when an Eved Kanani becomes an Eved initially, he requires a tefillah, and when he becomes freed, he requires another tefillah. So here he's freed, he's given freedom, but he never went to the mikvah yet. So he's in this quasi status of not being quite an Eved, but not being a Jew, so that will generate a mamzer.
Just the mamonis was released, but not the kedusha, because if you didn't get a yet shechar, and he was nesiyayish, nesiyayish is only the dine mamonis.
Right, very good, right. Right, so what I'm suggesting, which is probably true, that when it comes to Eved Kanani, there are two kinyanim that are there. There's a kinyan mamon and there's a kinyan iser. Kinyan mamon is the ownership of the Eved, which is relinquished through the yish, but there's still a kinyan iser, which does not allow him the kedusha, which flows from the kinyan iser, who has not granted him freedom yet to marry someone else until he goes to the mikvah, which changes his status of kedusha. Okay, then the Gemara continues and says, okay, that's one opinion as to what happened in Talmud. That was that they married Avdei Shlomo, but since they were Jewish mothers, so it generated these Jewish mamzerim. The Charam of the Gemara says, the other opinion held, that Mishum Benos Yushalayim, because what's Benos Yushalayim? The Gemara is going to explain what that means in a moment. So Bishma, the man, Mishum Avdei Shlomo, I understand the one, yeah, in the Gemara. The Mishum Benos Yushalayim. No, not yet.
Not yet. Mishum not Yerushalayim Bishlamo Neman Damar.
Yes. So Bishma Lamad. So we'll see what Mishum Shlomo Benos Yerushalayim is in a moment. But before the Gemara gets that, it wants to analyze the following: Bishlamo Neman Damar Mishum Avdei Shlomo. It all makes sense if you hold there's the Avadim of Shlomo who the Jewish women married. Kesavra, the Gemara is of the opinion that Oved Kochavim VeEved, either a Goy or an Eved. Haba al Bas Yisrael Havlad Mamzer. So if they held that way, so Talmud was a place of Mamzerim. And that's why Geiris wouldn't work. They're already Jewish, but they're Mamzerim. Geiris does not undo Mamzeris. El Manda Marmishim Benos Yushalayim Mahi. The one who thinks that they're the daughters of Yushalayim, so Mahi, what exactly is the concern? What's going on here? So that too is Machlokas. Pligi Bar Rav Yosef Rabbanon V'Tavayel Mishmei Di Rabba Bar Chana. They both argue as to what exactly it means Benos Yushalayim. Chadamar, one of them held that Tracer Alfe Gavre, there were 12,000 men, Vishisa Alfe Kashtuye, and there were also an additional 6,000 men who were, bow and arrow guys, archers, I guess. So, Vichadamar, Tracer Alfe Gavre, and 12,000 men, Uminayo, of the 12,000, Shisa Alfe Kashtuye, and 6,000 of them were archers. So, either 18,000 total or 12,000 total. Okay, what's with these men? The moment that the Goyim entered into the Heichal, into the base of Mikdash, Hakol Nifnu al Kesev Azov, everyone went to take down the gold, and when the Berlin Wall was broken down, everyone took parts of the wall, so everyone was coming to take parts of the base of Mikdash, the gold, the silver, all the fancy things. However, these 12,000 or 18,000 men, Haim Nifnu al Benos Yushalayim, they went towards the women of Yushalayim, the Jews, Shinemar, Noshim B'tzion Anu B'sulos Bar Yehuda. They were the Anu, they were Inoy, they were I guess, violated during the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and that had generated this city of Talmud came out of this situation during the Shas Churban Beis HaMikdash. That's what the pasuk means in Eicha, Noshim B'tzion Inu B'sulos Bar Yehuda. Mar now is going to analyze for the remainder of the daf some psukim related to, I think, Eicha. A few of the psukim are about Eicha. So Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonasan. Pasuk Zeh, this pasuk, Sar HaOlam Amru. The following pasuk was said by Sar HaOlam. Who is Sar HaOlam? So Rashi tells us that Sar HaOlam, Rashi doesn't tell us who Sar HaOlam is. Okay.
Yeah?
There we go, Malach, okay. So he was a quite powerful malach. He was the chief malach.
He was the FedEx of Hashem.
The FedEx. So what did he say? So so the Gemara, the pasuk says, Nar Hayisi Gamzakanti. So I was young and I'm also old. So Man Amr, who was the one who said this pasuk? Ilay Makutra Brichu, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu says this, Mi Ika Zikne Kameh, is there ever such a thing as getting old for Kadosh Baruch Hu? He's always the same, doesn't change. So he couldn't be the one that Nahar Yisi, I was once young, now I'm old. Ela David Amra, but did David say this? Me kashish kuli hai was David so old that he's able to say this. And in all my years, I never saw Tzadik Nezav. I never saw Tzadik left alone. He wasn't that old. He lived till he was 70, which is a nice age. But that's not like a great statement to never see such a thing. You have to live much older than that to be able to make such a an amazing statement. So who said it? Who else is there to speak? If it wasn't David who wrote the Tillim, and it wasn't the Kadosh Baruch Hu, who's left? El Shema Mina, Tzar HaOlam Amru, must be the Tzar HaOlam. This chief malach was the one who said the statement of Nar Ha'isi, the Gamza Kanti. Just looking down at this Tosas, it seems like a pretty interesting Tosas. I don't know if I'm going to understand this. We do have time. Let's take a stab at this Tosas for a second. Pasuk Zeh Tzar HaOlam Amru. See that Tosas towards the bottom? He says, Kash L'Rabbeinu Tam, De'asei HaPayet, the poet who had authored, I'm not sure which piet, but Hasar Hamesharis Nar Nikra.
What is that next to Hasar?
Yeah, I have a Nun, but could be different letters.
It's in the Yotzeris for Simchas
Torah. Ah, okay. Oh, very appropriate. Just a few days ago. So what does it say in the piet of Simchas Torah, the Yotzeris of Simchas Torah? Most of us don't say these Yotzeris, but Hasar HaMisharis Nar Nikrahu. Interesting. The Sar HaMisharis, the chief Sar, the chief Malach, was called the Nar. Mitatron HaNichbad Vanora. So these are all the descriptions of the Sar. Ama Mitatron Hu. What does Mitatron mean? It's a name, yeah? Oh, it's a name, okay. Okay, so that's who he is. This Sar HaOlam, who's the Nar, must be the one who we refer to as Mitatron. And Sar HaOlam Shenikra Nar, fine, that's one Pir. Pir Acher, Yasad Tokav Mitachon Sar Shenepach Leish, Mi Basar. Another one refers to Mitachon as he takes fire, Leish Mi Basar. He takes Basar and turns it into fire. Where he has a different role. Masher Dechanachu Mitachon. I'm not sure Chanachu is, I'm being lost in these different malachim. But he apparently had a different role. He wasn't Sar HaOlam. He had a different role of being able to switch from flesh to fire or something. Now, V'yef Shashi Chanoch Sar HaOlam, and I guess maybe Chanoch was known to be the one who flipped fire. I don't know. I thought Chanoch was last week's Parsha.
Chanoch.
Yeah. But apparently it's the name of a Malach Osa, I'm guessing. So, interesting. This is Targum Yonason on last week's Parsha discusses Mitatron and Chanoch, I guess. So we should take a look there. Now, it's impossible to say, says Tosfos, Yefshar sheyechanoch sar ha'olam, he couldn't be sar ha'olam, the parak elo trefos in chulin, amar de b'sheshes yimei abreshes, the 6 days of creation, pasach sar ha'olam, v'amar yismach ha'shem b'masav, that's what he said, v'chanoch lo hayo b'mais abreshes, chanoch wasn't yet created yet, in mais abreshes, so you couldn't say chanoch and metatron the same person. This is the kash Rabbeinu Tam has, fascinating. V'yesh lomer, yeah.
But it can be the Kadosh Baruch Hu, because there's another few psukim in the Kadosh Baruch Hu from himself as a zaken.
I know. In Kapi Kabbalah, there's this idea of him being an older man.
It's forgot the pasuk, which is in after Aleinu.
Okay, but I know that you're right. There is an idea of him being an older man, but I guess the Gemara was going with the pshat, not going with the sod. So this is stira of who Matrona was. Mitatron was. V'yesh lomer, Rabbeinu Tam suggests. Mitatron ain't the Sar HaOlam. He's not the Sar HaOlam, even though the Pid on the Yotzus and Simchas Torah seems to imply that way. V'hav the Nikra Nar, that which the Simchas Torah Yotzus refers to him as a Nar, lo mishum dechsev Nar ha'isi gam zekanti, not because of the Pasuk of Argamara, el Nar shekein haya Shmo, that was his name, he was called Nar. Upsiksa beches Shmos shel Mitatron Mona, na minar. There are 8 names of Mitatron, one of which is Nar, not because of our Pasuk again. The Ode, he writes, the Agudos Chalukos, Agadas Chalukos, Zuazu, they oftentimes they have machlokas in between different Midrashim. The Resh Rabbah, Yeshom and the Chanuch, Mace, Kid, the Kamar Minan, Kilekach, Oso, Himis Yasub, Resh Masachas, Derech Eres, Masha, Shenichlas, Lagan Eden, Machayev. His machlokas is what happened to Chanuch. One opinion thinks that Chanuch actually died, and the other opinion thinks Chanuch was taken off to Gan Eden. I'm not sure why it's a seer. When a person dies, it's possible to go to Gan Eden, but Tosus thinks it's a seer as to what had happened. So either way, we see that there are a number of machlokas and agadas. We can't always make heads and tails of what went on. Back to the Gemara now. Gemara now says, towards the bottom of the page, Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonasan. My dichsev, what does the pasuk mean? This pasuk appears in Eicha, first parak, Yodo Faras Tsar Akol Machmeda. The hand was spread over. Tsar means to either besiege or maybe it means to be narrow. Is there a translation here in this context? I guess besiege maybe? It covered all the
treasures.
Okay.
Treasure.
Machmadeh, right? Treasures. And tsar means to trap.
Is
to besiege.
Overtook.
Right.
Yeah.
So this hand spread out and overtook all these treasures. Ze Amon u'Moav. That refers to Amon u'Moav. B'shah she'nichsu ov l'chacham l'heichal. So when I think that's Ze Amon u'Moav. That refers to Amon u'Moav. How? How is it Amon u'Moav? Let's see.
Next line.
Oh, this for a continuation still?
Okay,
so let's see. So Mishah, Bishah Shinichsu of the Kacham Nehecha, when they enter into the base of Migdash, Hakol Nifta al Kesev Zav. Everyone went for the gold and the silver. Behem Neflu al Sefer Torah. They went for the Sefer Torah.
But there was a guy that they hid it, no?
Sorry?
There was, what's his name? That hid it. He hides few.
Yeah, Chizkia. You have the Aron. Are you saying the Sefer Torah was in the Aron?
Yeah.
This might be of the opinion that it was taken away. There's another opinion that it was taken away.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a very good point, actually. Maybe that's what went on. Oh, there's also, actually, it could be a different one. The Sefer Torah that was in the Aron Kodesh was Moshe Rabbeinu's Sefer. There was Chizkia Melch, yeah. There's a, or he built the tunnels, I think, for it. There was an Aron Kodesh in the Azara, which, with other Sefer Torah that the Kohen would read and the Melch would read. It possibly took that. Right, exactly. It could be that Sefer Torah they took, not one in the Aron Kodesh, maybe. Then the words of Pasuk say, lo yavo amoni umavi bekalshem yishaf ba'esh, they should not enter into my house.
The Amon u'Moav are saying this Torah that says in it that we can't come in, they wanted to be burnt. That's why they went after the Torah, because they were offended.
I see. Okay, yishaf, they should burn it. I see. So a terrible article about the conservatives who took a Sefer Torah out on Simchas Torah and unraveled it, and we're holding the klaf during the dancing of the Simchas Torah. It's terrible.
What happened again?
I saw that there's some conservative shul had unraveled the Sefer Torah on Simchas Torah.
I was told it by my partners in Torah.
Yeah?
That's not an uncommon thing. And actually, what they did on Simchas Torah, they unrolled the entire thing and had people holding it. And then the rabbi would start over here, and he would sort of show everybody the different things that, as it had, you know, he would sort of go through the Torah. This parsha is this, and he would sort of walk through history.
You know what? If it was written by a man, then Misra, it doesn't matter. There's no Kedusha anyways.
Right, I'm not sure who it's written by. Right. Okay. So then the Gemara says, Tziva Hashem li Yaakov, quotes another pasuk in Eicha here. Hashem Yaakov Svivav Tsarov. What does that mean? That Hashem commanded Yaakov, and it will be surrounded by the people capturing. So Amar Rav Kigon Humna Lufum Nara. Apparently, like the Goyim of Humna, who sieged, I guess, the river, the mouth of the river of Nara. Okay, I guess that's. I'm not sure which.
Rashi just says that the Humnia was Greeks.
Uh-huh.
They were bothering these.
Okay, so they're referring to the Greeks there.
Poor Israelis.
Okay. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Asi Ovdech Ovid Kachavim Shekidish. Ovid Kachavim Shekidish Bizman Hazeh. A guy who had married Bizman Hazeh, referring to what here? A guy who married a Jewish woman, Bizman Hazeh, Choshishin the Kedushin. We're concerned that maybe it's a good Kedushin, even though normally a Jew and non-Jew get married, there's no Kedushin at all. Nowadays, we're concerned. Shema me'aseres ha'shvatim hu. Maybe this non-Jew came from the aseres ha'shvatim and with a status of being Jewish, and the kedushin would be chal. That's the concern that Rav Asi suggests. So how called the parish? We would parish. How can that be true? We don't know where this non-Jew came from, and we assume wherever they came from would go from the rove. And rove of the world is clearly not Jewish. So shouldn't we assume that most likely this man is not Jewish? So Gemara talks about Beduchta de Kibayi, is talking a Kvi, that Rashi explains, the last Rashi in the page, Beduchta de Kibayi, B'nei Aser Sashvatim, V'chol Kvua Kimechsa Mechsadami, V'hecha Kvi Dechsev V'nachem B'chalach V'chabro. It's talking about where, we don't know anymore where they are, but when they knew where the Aser Sashvatim went to, and you married a non-Jew from those areas, so then there's a concern that maybe he's from the Aser Sashvatim. So that's what it's talking about. And what Kalach is, what kavua, mechsa, mechsa, when it comes from that location where we know there is a suffix, then we view it as 50-50. 50-50, there's a very, very big concern. But if it's a non-Jew that came from a random place in the world, we're going to assume it's a non-Jew. So, Dama Rabbi Abba Bar Kana Vayinachim Bechalach. This is a pasuk that appears in Malachim. Vayinachim Yisrael Vayinachim Bachlach Uvachavor Neher Gozan Va'are Madai. This, I guess, were the areas where they had gotten exiled to the Sasa Shvatim. So, Chalach Zechilazon. That's the name of the place. Vachavor Zechadiyav. These mean nothing to me, unfortunately. And Nahar Gozan refers to. Yeah. I don't know where they are, though, I'm saying. Zu Ginzak, Varimadai Zu Chamdan, V'chavrusa, and other surrounding cities. V'amrile, others say, Zu Nihar, V'chavrusa. So the Gemara asks, and we'll stop here, Man Amar, Chavrusa Man. So who? What are these Chavrusa, these friends, if you will? Amar Shmuel, Krach Mushke, Chidki, V'dumki, other surrounding cities along the borders of the river, I guess. Amar Yochan, Yochan says, V'chul and V'sol, all these different areas are possible. I guess if you marry a non-Jew from these areas, we're going to assume that they're most likely mamzerim. Look at the top Rashi here. Rashi writes, Lefsol, the possible Reuben mamzerim, most of them are mamzerim, shenitmu ba'aser sashvatim ba'avod chacham, they had assimilated among the goyim. Ubenem harehen kisraelim, v'noag ben iser mamzerim, we treat the children as non-Jew, as Jews rather, but mamzerim. V'hein lo nizharu v'nasu zo echoso abito v'harein mamzerim, they didn't care if they marry a sister, a daughter, a mother. And that's what happened in this area. Okay, so we'll stop here. I'll share with you at the end, since we have a few minutes, an amazing halacha someone told me. I was telling Adam over Yontif this, but someone had asked, relating to Yevamos, the story was that a woman had married a kohen. And the kohen died without any children, and he had a brother. So the brother he had to do for chalitza, but nowadays we don't do yibum. It happened recently, and you don't do yibum is manhazeh, so you have to do chalitza. So they got the brother and they got the widow and they're about to do chalitza. And beforehand, the basin explained to her that to just beware that once you get chalitza, they do chalitza, you're considered a grusha, a divorcee for all intents and purposes. And it means you cannot marry a kohen. She said, wait a second here. I can't marry a kohen now. So what's the problem? You marry someone else. You have no one you're marrying. Look for another person. So no, but b'zman t'chias ha'mesim, I want to remarry my husband. My husband was a kohen, so I'm going to be a grusha now, a chalutza grusha. I can't remarry. And great, so they looked all over. They couldn't find any answers. No one ever dealt with this. No one asked the shaila. At least that's written down. No one ever thought this shaila. They just did chalitza. No one ever thought so far in advance, and no one ever had such an nemanus belief that the tchias mason will actually happen and what's going to happen during those times. So they know the answers. They sent to Reb Chaim Kanievsky what the answer, because they couldn't find any tshuvas who dealt with it. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky paskind that tell her to do chalutza now, and Bizman Mashiach will find a heter for her to remarry her husband then. What alumnus is a whole other discussion, but that was the story.